Welcome to Becoming Unstuck, a safe place to help individuals find the tools they need to live a life they truly want. I'm your host, Jordan Meyer, trauma and resiliency therapist. Join me here each week where you will learn one tool that you can use to help you become the person you've always wanted to be and live each day with more happiness. On today's episode, we're talking about the law of habit. And to start off with, I want to talk about the power of habit as well. And anyone who is engaged in a habit or a perpetual behavior of any kind can give testimony to the fact of the strength that it requires to maintain a good habit seems to be much more than to maintain an unhealthy habit. It also tends to follow the same pattern of those who engage in habits and behaviors and repetitions of patterns will likely remain in those patterns, right? The patterns that we find ourselves in, we are more likely to remain in them than to break out of them because of the ease and the power that seems to gravitate in keeping them in those things, no matter how unhealthy they are. So look into the lives of those who are successful, and you'll find that there is a direct relationship between failure and success. Those who have been able to find success have been able to see that there is a direct correlation between every failure and every success. There is a proportional relationship. Failure is temporary. Choosing to give it up makes it permanent. And those who have experienced failure in life and have success afterwards are able to recognize that failure is temporary. And therefore, they can take that failure and turn it into a success because they recognize that proportion that comes with it. Okay? Any impulse of thought, the mind repeats over and over through habit, and the habit forms an organized rhythm. Rhythm is the last stage of habit. Anything done over and over to perpetuate of this reaches a rhythm, and when it reaches this rhythm, it cannot be broken because nature takes over, right? There is a law of habit, a law of rhythm that occurs when we find ourselves in these situations. So any impulse, anything that we do over and over begins to self-perpetuate, and this rhythm or this law of habit and perpetuation takes over. And once we are participating in this law of habit, there's not much we can do. It's like being in a whirlpool and stuck at the center of it. And the farther and farther down you go, the less likely you are to be able to escape from it. Now, this principle applies in every case, including both positive and negative. Individuals who are successful have learned to make this habit and natural rhythm associated with good habits work for them and to their success. Individuals who have not participated in or left themselves to just the natural rhythms in a negative way, what happens when these habits form in unhealthy ways and habits is that they self-perpetuate into maladaptive behaviors. And individuals tend to find themselves stuck in these and unable to get out. So this principle is why it seems so difficult to change habits and behaviors. On a global scale, since this is also why so many find it difficult to change circumstances and environments, this self-perpetuating rhythm, this law of habit comes into effect, and individuals find themselves stuck in an environment or a situation unable to get out of. And oftentimes this is what we call intergenerational trauma, or why it's so difficult for multiple generations who all seem to have the same problems, the same areas that they struggle with. This is also a larger clinical aspect of why this tends to happen. So following this law of rhythm and habit and everything that goes with it, it speaks to why it's so difficult for individuals, even on a global scale, to get out of poverty or intergenerational trauma, right? This is also where we start to blame other people, such as government, societies, pressures, systematic ideas, that they tend to prevent people from moving forward and being successful in life, when in reality, it's our own actions and habits that tend to create this self-perpetuating cycle that allows us to not get out of it, right? Humans have many fears, but none more powerful than the fear of death. And research shows that individuals on deathbed said the greatest fear that they possess was not death itself, but the fear of not having a life worth living, that their life wasn't worth something. People fear having a meaningful life so much that they are willing to connect to anything that's going to provide that meaning for them, no matter how temporary this is. Now, this means that people will gravitate towards whatever is in front of them that will lead to some sort of happiness, or at least the promise of happiness, when in reality, it's more the fulfillment of desires. So unfortunately, majority of the things that surround us in our daily life are going to lead us to nowhere, or they're going to lead us to habits that gain by participating in them are going to lead to things that are not fulfilling or give us a life that is not as fulfilling as could be, right? This is the difference between temporary satisfaction and lasting happiness, right? Now, I want to take a minute and switch gears for a second, right? I want to talk about why is it that this law of habit or perpetuating behavior that we find ourselves in, why is it so easy for us to be stuck in? And why is it so difficult to get out of, right? So I want to talk for a moment. What we experience on a daily basis is constantly being surrounded by things that entice or promise some sort of fulfillment or relief of this desire that we have, right? And really what we break this down to is what we call propaganda. And at its root, propaganda is any device, plan, or method which people can be influenced without knowing that they are being influenced or the source of that influence, okay? Love, sex, money, gain for something, gain from nothing, vanity, egotism, desire to master others, desire for perpetuation of life after death, desire to be the hero of somebody. These are the strongest forms of influence that we have as human beings. And unfortunately, we live in a world today that these influencers are all around us and all consuming. It seems that as we progress as a society, the idea of any morality and values are becoming less popular, and it's more so pushed and encouraged to indulge in the desires and senses to a point where accountability is absorbed in a way that doesn't exist anymore, right? And somehow we're not responsible for accountability in our own actions, and we become completely immersed in just giving in to the urges and that around us, right? So there's a popular biblical verse that talks about eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And I think as a society, this idea has really perpetuated to a point that is beyond what any of us think is possible, right? Somehow the notion of be you, live free, and take no responsibility overpowers any aspect of morality or values that a person has, right? The truth remains is that these things that we are influenced by will always lead to one place and in one direction. If a person chooses to not be intentional with their thinking and their choices and their actions, they will negatively fall into a whirlpool of influence due to these things. Sex, money, power, drugs. They will become slave to these and in fact lose their agency and choice to be able to get out of it according to their own will. Right? There is a direct correlation in the relationship of habit and developing a habit within these areas. Even the strongest person can become stuck and unable to get out once the cycle becomes self-perpetuating enough and the natural rhythm becomes too powerful to get out of. This is often a lot of the work that I see as individuals become so stuck in a victim mentality or blaming other people, or they get stuck in their own unhealthy coping strategies and maladaptive behaviors that now that's what they know. They don't know how to do anything outside of that, even though they know it's not helpful and it's actually harmful, okay? Now, to those that are familiar, this is also the principle that's talked about in the famous book, The Secret, which we also call the Law of Attraction, right? And the principle talks about the manifestation of being able to manifest what it is that you want, and the manifestation of what you want is directly correlated to the habits and the formations of patterns and behaviors that you have in your life, right? The law of habit becomes a prophecy into getting what you want, and you can manifest everything that you want in life by learning how to adjust your own habits and patterns. But yet, this wouldn't be a mental health podcast unless we applied it in some way to mental health, right? So using the law of habit, I want to apply it in the same way to the way that we speak to ourselves. So remember the principle of propaganda that we talked about earlier, right? That propaganda is anything, a device, plan, or method which people can be influenced without knowing that they're being influenced or the source of that influence. Okay? So I want you to think about this aspect in regards to how we speak and talk to ourselves, right? The law of habit denotes that there is a proportional relationship to repeated thoughts, words, and actions that perpetuate a repetitive cycle that once developed, the person is unable to get out of. Now, we relate this to the language that we use against ourselves, and we put it in context of how and why it's so difficult to stop and change negative self-talk. Then we can understand why it starts to apply for our lives. If every day of your life you wake up telling yourself that you are worthless and you have no value, then you begin to process this law of habituation and you begin to believe it. And eventually you create a pattern and a behavior of organized rhythm so strong that you cannot get out of it. And now, since that even just belief and talking to yourself of this now becomes the truth, you do become worthless and have no value, or at least truly believe that that's the case. After so long of talking to yourself in this way, you become unable to see things in a different lens, and that's now your truth. Okay, research and clinical experience indicates that those with self-esteem think about and talk to themselves differently than those who dislike themselves. People without self-esteem feel deficient and inadequate. They become defeated, losing motivation and the joy of experiencing oneself as worthwhile. If they do push themselves to grow, they will do so with perfectionistic standards in a driven and joyless fashion that paradoxically impairs success. So if you or somebody you know seems to be stuck in this pattern of negative self-talk and can't get out of it, and this is something that you want to try to replace, and in every instance, you want to apply better self-talk towards yourself, okay? We're going to begin in replacing this right now. So I'm going to give you an example that you can use, and we're going to begin by saying, even though, and that's the beginning of our sentence, okay? Even though, and then we want to fill in whatever it is that we are talking negatively about ourselves in regards to, and then we want to respond with a self-affirming statement that allows us to connect to a sense of core worth associated to it. So for example, if I'm telling myself that I'm a failure, then I want to replace that statement with, even though I am imperfect, I'm still a good person and I try my best. Okay? Or maybe the phrase that you say to yourself is, I'm a terrible person, I'm a terrible dad, I'm a terrible mom, and you want to replace that language. Okay? So again, using that standard, even though I may be an imperfect parent, I try my best and I love my kids with everything I have. Okay? Now, I want to be clear that self-esteem is not positive thinking, where you tell yourself how wonderful and perfect you are, hoping that you will thereby become so. This kind of thinking is emotionally immature and stressful because it's not grounded in reality. People with self-esteem have no need to inflate themselves. Rather, they are secure enough to accurately appraise both their strengths and their weaknesses. Growth begins with an honest recognition of one's present level of development, and the process can be quite affirming and optimistic when done appropriately. So I talk to a number of individuals who I do affirming statements with, and the question that I always get is, well, what if I don't believe it? What if it's not true? And oftentimes my statement back to them is, I know it's not true and I know you don't believe it. That's why we're doing this exercise, right? Is to instill some kind of aspect of positivity. But I don't want to blow smoke with the people I'm talking about. I understand that they may not view or look at themselves in a positive light. And similar to what we just talked about, I'm not trying to have them convince themselves that they are. Rather, what we're trying to do is change their self-talk, is to change their negative perception of themselves. And the way that we do that is by the law of habit, by the law of habituation. I want to change the habitual pattern of negative self-talk that's become so beyond what they could ever think it went to. And we want to replace that with positive self-talk. Okay. If you're struggling with self-worth, negative core worth, the first thing that you can do to begin to change this is change the way you talk to yourself. Change the way that you perpetuate this negative cycle without even realizing it. And it takes a lot of work to stop this pattern and habit from happening. But once you do, remember we talked earlier that this is about both the negative and the positive rhythm of life that tends to flow. If you want to change your core worth, the quickest and easiest way to do that is to create a new habit of how you speak to yourself. Speak to yourself in a more positive way. And the more you do that, you engage the law of habituation, the law of habit and repetition. And in turn, you begin to then see yourselves in that same light, right? Positive self-talk is going to create a pattern of habit. And in turn, is going to help instill the success and the reward that comes with positive self-talk. So I would encourage you to do so. And in tune, you'll be able to find more self-worth in yourself. And in turn, be able to find more happiness in your life on a daily basis because you've engaged the law of habit and habituation and are able to connect to it in a more positive way. Thank you for listening. As always, if you'd enjoyed today's episode, please share with your friends and family and join me here next week. If you happen to live in the Utah Salt Lake area, please reach out for help if needed. You can find me on Instagram at jordanmeyer.cmhc. Follow me on Facebook. And remember, you can find this episode and future episodes on any podcast platform, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and I will see y'all next week.